After the Bible study this morning and what Penny was saying, I thought I better bring my Bible up there with me, as much as she talked about the Word of God. But that's what we do here, isn't it? What better to talk about than what God says? Let's see. I want to go to, I think as the last time I was here, another familiar portion of Scripture. John chapter 12. And for those of you who are wondering whether or not to stay for this afternoon, I have been told I'll be speaking again. So if that is a deterrence, then let me give you an incentive. I'm going to use two different Bibles this afternoon. So if you want to see me try to do that, it might be interesting. I was just looking here thinking, how am I going to place them? You know, I could do like so many speakers now and just have it on my little device. But I was talking with Mason earlier, and I enjoy writing the notes down. It helps me. And then I like reading my own writing as long as I can read it. And it just feels, it's not AI. This is real. Amen. John chapter 12. Verse 1, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. I want to talk today about worship. And I think you all know me well enough and have heard me enough to realize that nothing I say today is intended to endorse any changes or be critical or make any adjustments. I'm not advocating that in any way. What I want to emphasize today is it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. My wife and I have been privileged to attend a couple of other churches where I've been asked to speak. And as we were sharing with Dan earlier, kind of miraculous, but that's what God does, is send us places that we never thought we would go. And been invited back, as a matter of fact. So we've been exposed to different types of worship, or what different ones call worship. Keep in mind, and I may say this till you're tired of hearing it, it should be all about Jesus, okay? Some believe that worship is, I've heard one person say they think it's geographical, it's unique to their church. Nobody does it like we do. We've got the greatest praise and worship team. We get the loudest. We have the most talented singers. So they feel that that is the best way to worship, as if it depends on a certain style or a certain method. Others say, well, you know, we've been doing it like this for a long time. And that's fine. If it works, don't change it. Why? But others can be stuck and reserved. And I noticed in a couple of these places, the presence of the Holy Spirit was unmistakable. But it's like he was walking around going, oh. No one was being activated. No one seemed to be touched. And I'm not saying they have to express it outwardly or be animated about it. We don't want anything artificial. But they seem to be so out of tune with the Word and with what God wants to do in their lives. Not just in the meeting, but in their lives. Some feel that worship is based on a certain doctrine or a certain theology. I heard that someone who spoke here many years ago say this: some churches feel like if you don't have a full-blown manifestation of the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues and jumping up and down and running around the sanctuary, you didn't have worship. Others, on the other hand, say if that does happen, that's the flesh. That wasn't worship either. That was just a show. When it shouldn't be about us. It should be about the Lord. Because after all, can we do it without Him? No. We cannot do it without Him. Sometimes I reminisce, especially when I come up here, about the different fellowship meetings we've had in the past and the wonderful times that we've had and different messages I've heard that have just poured into my life and the opportunities I've had to be blessed and to be part of different meetings where the love was just overflowing. But I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to rest on those memories. Yesterday's blessings were wonderful, but that was yesterday. I want a fresh experience with Jesus every day. Every day I wake up, His mercies are renewed in the morning and hopefully will stay with me throughout the day. Praise the Lord. Yes, I know, someone might be thinking, but David, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says, I am the Lord, I change not. And that's true, he doesn't change, but we should. Amen. We should continue to be changed, as we heard this morning, into his image from glory to glory. And I don't want to be so set in my reminiscing and my complacency that I'm not ready to move when God says move. Amen. And I'm not ready to change when he says it's time to change. I claim to rest on Philippians where it says, if in anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto you. Well, David, what are you going to do when I reveal it to you? Are you going to change? Are you going to let me change you? Or are you just going to say, oh yeah, that's right, I don't do that right. Or I don't believe that right, but I still like the way I believe it. Let him change you. And I want to let him change me. I thought of in the Gospels, there were several times Jesus would tell the disciples to get in the boat. And I don't know if you remember, but the last time I spoke here about the feeding of the 5,000, the first thing Jesus said was have them sit down, and that's all he said. He didn't give them the plan. But when he tells the disciples to get in the boat, he doesn't say, get in the boat, and I'm going to give you your assigned seats, and we're going to go to such and such, and we're going to do this, and on the way, this is going to happen. He just says, get in the boat. I want to be ready to get in the boat when Jesus wants me to get in the boat and go wherever he wants to take me. And I think of the word of God as the boat. Let's get in that and go wherever God wants to take us, which is up and away. Praise his name. Sometimes when I was talking about reminiscing, I thought, I need to remember. I don't want to be so... I don't want to preserve what's happened to me in the past so much that I'm not ready to go somewhere God wants to take me now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Worship isn't to be based on what we like, where we want to be, or what we like to do. It's to be based on who you love. Worship is to be based on who you love. And then it should flow from us. It shouldn't be forced. It shouldn't be an obligation. It shouldn't feel like it's an obligation to come in and oh, I'm going to church today and David's coming up, so we're going to listen to him and then we're going to have lunch and finally it'll all be over, hopefully at a decent time, and I can enjoy the rest of the day. No, it's an opportunity. That's what it is. It's an opportunity. I consider this an opportunity and a blessing, and it humbles me to be able to come before you and speak about the Word of God. Worship shouldn't be done to try to get the Lord to do something for me. It should be done, it can be done in expectation of what He's going to do. That's worshiping in faith. That's believing for the answer before we see it. That's believing, as I heard I quit listening to or watching TV evangelists many years ago, praise God. That's one of the changes he made in my life. But one said something that I really liked. You know, we always hear the phrase to think ahead. He said, thank ahead. Thank the Lord after you make your request, as it says in Philippians. Just making the request should bring you peace. Thank him for that. That's worshiping him for what he's going to do. We're happy for what he has done, as I said. We thank him for that. But let's thank him for who he is and what he's promised us he will do. So keep in mind, it's all about him. It's all about him. So we come here to our text in John 12. Jesus comes to Bethany. It's just a few days before the cross. And they have a supper in his honor. So we might say it's a fellowship meeting that I alluded to earlier. When we gather together and we have food. And I've heard many say, you know, if you want to get people to come to church, have food. Well, we do. We have food. all you can eat and then some. And if there's leftovers, take it home. You're your own to-go box. Take it home with you. Praise the Lord. So there's a large crowd at this fellowship meeting, or at this supper they're having for Jesus. There's disciples, there's Jews. Lazarus is there, and his sisters Mary and Martha. And it later on it even says there's some Jews there that want to kill Lazarus. What a, you know, that's better than any reality show they could come up with. Think about this group of people. You might say a diverse group, dysfunctional group even. You know, some churches to the world look dysfunctional, but God makes it work. And I was mentioned earlier about being in a churches and feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I hope this comes out right. The presence of Jesus doesn't guarantee harmony. What guarantees harmony is when they focus on Him.
Amen.
He's there.
Yes.
He's ready. But there's too many other things for people to think about, which we'll get into. So what brought these people here? Some came to see Jesus. Probably a lot of them came to see a miracle because they heard this. That's what this man does. He performs miracles. There were probably some there that wanted a healing, wanted to get something from him. And I imagine there were those there who wanted to see Lazarus because, after all, this is a guy that's been dead 4 days. And now he's up and walking around. He's a walking, talking miracle. And I thought to myself, why are we here? And my first answer, and bear with me, was, well, I had to come. I was asked to preach. I came to preach. Other reasons we came: we love the fellowship. We love the food. We love the Sunday school, the Bible study in the morning. We love the songs, the praise, the special music. And those are all good reasons. But the real reason, most of all, is it should be about Him. We should be here because of Him. So yes, I did come to preach. But I didn't come to preach for Brother Gene Hawkins. I didn't come to preach for Ray Quintana. I didn't even come to preach for you. I came to preach for Jesus. I came because of Him. That's why I'm here, and I believe that's why we're all here. Praise the Lord. But Mary was there this day. She wasn't there to hear a sermon. Think about it. She's in the presence of the greatest preacher that ever lived. And she bows at His feet to minister to Him. To minister to Him. She didn't make a request. She didn't ask Him for anything. She's in the presence of the Creator, saints. She's in the presence of the man who would die, be raised again, and seated at the right hand of the Father, our high priest, and she doesn't make a request to Him. Matter of fact, she doesn't make any comment at all, does she? She doesn't say anything. She asks nothing of Him. But I heard someone else say this: really, do you think it's possible to be in His presence and not receive something? Just being in the presence of the Lord, you should receive something. How much and what you receive is up to you. And we might get into that this afternoon. But His presence is a gift. His presence should give us something to receive. Mary didn't let this encounter become something about her request and her needs. She didn't let it become about her. And anything you receive today, whether it was in Bible study this morning, during this message now, or this afternoon, it's not because of Penny, it's not because of me, it's because of Him. Amen. That you receive anything today. Mentioned earlier, Mary wasn't distracted by the others. And we've been in services where there's been distractions. A lot of distractions. But she didn't let anyone else or anything else interfere with her worship of Jesus. And think about the list of people we went through who were in attendance that day. All that was going on. Jews there wanting to kill Lazarus. Disciples, I'm sure they were talking among themselves and discussing the food and what they liked and all these different things. I'm sure Mary loved them. Of course she loved her brother and her sister. She was very fond of the disciples. But he was her first love. He was the preeminent love in her life. And her mission that day was to express that love to him. That was her mission. She gave completely. She gave freely. It wasn't required. It wasn't expected. But let me tell you, I believe Jesus appreciated it. I believe he appreciated it. It says in the Gospels, depending on which account you read, or which translation or commentary, oil of spikenard, pure liquid nard. It was either in a flask or in a box. She poured it out or broke the box. One man summed it up by saying a flask of expensive fragrant liquid. Whatever you want to call it, whatever it was in, she poured it all out. That's what matters. She poured it all out on him. She wasn't holding back. She gave sacrificially to the one she loved, to her first love. Might call it a sacrifice of praise. Praise his name. But we've already mentioned she didn't make a comment. Would you call that silent praise? You know, we need to realize we don't have to shout for God to hear us. He didn't shout when he spoke to Elijah, did he? In the mountain, that was a still small voice. We don't even have to say a word, and God hears what's in our hearts. Yes. He knows. And she expressed what was in her heart when she ministered to him that day. We read that it was an expensive worship. About a year's wages went into that. Mary's love for Jesus moved her to go beyond the norm. Many times I think those saints who are looking for the upward high calling in Jesus Christ are viewed as going beyond the norm. We're extreme. Yes, we are. I'm sorry, I shouted. Yes, we are. We're extreme. Read in Philippians, there's some of the most extreme terms used in Scripture. When you look those words up in Greek, you look at pressing and reaching and stretching. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm sore just thinking about it. God wants to stretch us out to apprehend that for which we've been apprehended. And we do it by making it all about his Son. That's what the Father wants us to do, is make it all about his Son. It's all about him. Does my adoration and love and appreciation for Jesus go beyond the norm? Do I have that true bridal love for him? He's working it in my life. He's developing it in my life. And it's also interesting, Mary did not bring up the value or the cost, did she? She didn't say a word. She knew how much it cost. And Jesus knew how much it cost and why she was doing it. Judas thought he knew. He had a dollar amount in his head, and that's the old creation. That's the natural. Oh my gosh, those people, when they have those Labor Day meetings, they go to church 3 days straight. Oh, and you don't go to a football game and act like a nut for nothing. Our old preacher, Brother Kramer, used to say, I'm a fool for Jesus. Whose fool are you? Amen. So, Mary did not bring up the cost, but Jesus knew. And when Judas brought that up, of course, we read in Scripture, he wasn't really concerned about the cost of it. He was concerned that he wouldn't get it, that he wouldn't get to have a hand in it. He wouldn't get the attention. He wouldn't get the value of that. It's as if it says Judas was upset about the waste. Oh my goodness, is anything we ever do for Jesus a waste? No. Judas might have been thinking, oh, he's not worth that. All of it? Are you serious? Pouring it all out on him? Well, I don't know if you've heard it, but there's a song on the radio that I heard the other day. And as I told the guys in the back, I will not sing. I won't try. But part of the song goes like this. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. That was Mary's attitude that day when she poured that out at the feet of Jesus. If you try to count the cost of worship, if you try to put a value on it, it's not worship anymore. It's a transaction. And I see just way too much of that in the church. When we give of our time and our talent, our money, it's really not to be a sacrifice. My brother corrected me on this years ago. It's not really a sacrifice, Dave. It's an opportunity. And that's what happens when we mature in the Lord. It's not a sacrifice. It's an opportunity to show our love and our obedience for Him. So nothing that we do unto the Lord is a waste. Nothing we give unto the Lord is a waste. We mentioned that Mary said nothing. She exhibited a wonderful spirit of meekness and self-control. But look at verse 7. But Jesus said. The Word says. So if we're criticized or questioned, if what we're doing is based on the Word, it will defend us. Amen. The Word of God itself will defend us. Mary found out, not found out, Mary knew who her defender was. I was thinking about, we have the phrase from back in earlier in Luke 10 where it says, Jesus sat at his feet and learned of him. That's one of the things she learned. He's her defender. He defends her. Many other things she learned about Jesus, but that's one of them. And she let him do it. She didn't say, oh, before you say anything, let me defend myself. No, she let Jesus defend her so she could continue doing what she was there to do, to show her love for him. You know, Mary, because she had sat at Jesus' feet, she probably understood the upcoming events more than anyone else. She knew where he was going, what he was going to do. So she realized this would be the last opportunity to do this. One of these days, you're going to have the last opportunity to worship the Lord. What will you do? Whether it's at home or at church, work, or if you're retired somewhere else, when you get that opportunity to pour out your love on Him, will you do it? I ask myself that because I'm looking forward to that very soon day when we'll be worshiping for eternity. And those who have poured all their love out on Him now will be the ones pouring their love out on Him then. Praise the Lord. So Jesus told the critics, leave her alone. And that's one of the things, I already mentioned, that's one of the things Mary learned is that Jesus would defend her. And when Jesus said, leave her alone, I was thinking, you know, Mary and all these other people, if I could have said anything to them, Judas, it's not about the money. It's not about the method. It's not even about Mary. It's about him. It's about him. They saw the material cost of the perfume and the way that she did it, and Jesus saw the sacrifice behind it. He saw the love that was behind it. And this act of love revealed her heart, but it also revealed the attitude of the others that were there, didn't it? Their reaction revealed their attitudes. Some were critical, some judged, and I'm sure there were many there that had no idea what Mary was doing. But she did it anyway, because it was all about him. And we read here that the fragrance filled the house that day. They all could have enjoyed this time of worship if they would have just focused on the one she was worshiping. Praise the Lord. And they refused to do that. They were too busy to enjoy the presence of the Lord and the worship that was in that house that day. A sweet-smelling savor unto God. Praise the Lord. So we saw up in verse 2, they made him a supper. And there was, as we've mentioned, several people there to enjoy that feast, to fellowship with one another. Just as we fellowship together, we did during Sunday school, during the song service, hearing the word of God. And we do it here all as unto the Lord, because it's all about him. When we think about different individuals we've all had, and we're all in different experiences right now that we're going through. Different things in our lives, different burdens. And we come together to pour out our adoration and our praise on him. It's quite a mixture of ways to worship when you think of where that comes from in our lives. I thought of the older saints. You know, it says that Mary poured it all out, okay? I thought of the older saints. Well, Dave, I've been pouring it out for years. There's not much left in my flask. Then we look at the younger ones. Well, I haven't been taking this in for that long, so I don't have much in my flask yet. Doesn't matter. You give him all you are, and he'll fill you up with all he is. Just pour it all out, and you will not be the same. You will not be the same. We were in Tulsa, Oklahoma last summer. You're going to wonder why I'm bringing this up. And we went into a large Christian bookstore. It looked like God had blessed Walmart. I mean, this place was big. And I'm standing there. I don't know if you remember the reaction on my face. And I look at all the checkout lines and I look over. I have never seen so many T-shirts in my life hanging on the wall. They were probably 10 high. And I don't know how far down they went. There was well over 100 T-shirts there. And yes, I tried to read them all. I bought two, because it was a better deal if you got two. The one that I bought, I wore. The church we're going to did a ministry at the local pool, which we enjoyed. I was chosen. God chose me, but someone designated me to sit at a table to hand out free Bibles. Oh, I thought, that's perfect. That's great. And had some people ask questions and make comments and was able to interact with people. And that's something I had never done. And I thought, there we go. God had me get in the boat. And I went somewhere and done something I'd never done before. And I was blessed. I realizing this is serving. This is serving. And what better way to do it than hand out the word? Well, the T-shirt I wore to that pool party said, "My lifeguard walks on water." And he does. The other shirt that I got was kind of an inspiration for this message. On the front of the shirt, it says, "It's not about me." And on the back of the shirt, it says, I'm going to read it because I don't want to miss anything. It's all about him, Jesus, washed in his blood, saved by his sacrifice, trusting in his word, depending on his love, living on his promises, waiting for his return. And I thought, that's wonderful. That says it all. But for those at Gospel Fellowship, they might add one more line. Not just waiting for his return, David, loving his appearing. Loving his appearing. So remember, it's not about me, and it's not about you. It's not about us. It's all about him. Let's sing. If you have a need and want to be prayed for, please come down to the altar. Praise the Lord.